Okay, imagine this. You spend years, maybe decades, really honing your skills. You're right at the cutting edge of tech, of organizational change.
Yeah, you've got the international recognition, the certifications, the whole deal.
Exactly. You're seen as a thought leader globally. And then you bring that expertise home locally, and someone just dismisses it with one sentence.
Oof. Yeah, that specific feeling, that intense frustration when future value gets totally squashed by present-day bureaucracy, that's really the heart of what we're exploring today.
Right. We're diving into this reflection from Rob Van Linde, a digital transformation expert. He talks about this really weird friction you hit when advanced, genuinely future-focused skills clash with, well, established administrative norms, particularly in Germany, in his
But
case.
it's broader than just Germany, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So our mission for this deep dive is to unpack why. Why does globally valuable knowledge sometimes get branded as, irrelevant or niche locally? And what does that tell us about innovation culture versus, say, administrative culture?
And Rob's story kicks it off perfectly.
Yeah.
He lists his background, right? Digital transformation manager, chief digital officer, AI change management, design thinking with AI. I mean, these aren't just buzzwords.
No, these are the actual skills driving the global economy right now.
Exactly. But then this acquaintance, someone who used to work at the German Employment Agency, looks at this list and just drops the bomb. But Rob, these are niche topics. Nobody needs that.
Wow, niche topics. That phrase just hangs there, doesn't it?
It really does. If these skills, the ones defining the next, I don't know, 10 years, are niche, well, what does niche even mean in that context?
Good question. It sort of implies there are two completely different conversations happening on the planet at the same time.
That's precisely it. Rob talks about when he engages with international communities, the Jules White groups, experts in the US, India, the Netherlands.
What's that conversation like? How's it different from that local dismissal?
Oh, it's night and day. The international folks, they're already miles ahead. They start from a place of immediate curiosity, of respect. They're not debating if AI change management is needed.
They're past that.
Totally past it. They jump straight into the how. They're asking things like, okay, how do you actually scale this across big old school organizations? Or how do we keep AI explainable, especially to people who aren't tech wizards?
Right, the practicalities.
And crucially, how can we use these human-centered frameworks to replace those rigid top-down transformation models from, the 2000s. It's a very different level of discussion.
So it's a conversation built on the assumption that this knowledge isn't just valuable, it's essential, foundational.
Exactly. It's all about implications, optimization, not about whether it deserves a category or needs permission to exist.
Okay, but then you try to bring those same ideas, even the terms, back home. The source mentions using standard terms like agentic AI or data-driven empathy, and people look at you like you've just landed from Mars.
That gap, that's the core insight here. You mentioned agentic AI, just quickly for listeners. That's AI that can act independently towards a goal, not just follow one command. And data-driven empathy, which is about using data and behavioral science to really understand user needs, not just surface-level stuff.
So complex fields,
Yeah.
interconnected fields. And when you introduce that complexity into a, let's say, a more rigid local administrative setting.
Bang, you get this clash, this conceptual collision between two really different ways of thinking.
Which the source calls.
Ecosystem thinking versus form thinking.
Okay, let's unpack that because it feels key. Ecosystem thinking first.
Right. So ecosystem thinking is all about the innovation culture. It's fluid. It's always looking ahead. It focuses on how different fields connect design, human behavior, AI, agility, you name it.
It likes simplicity.
It thrives on it. It needs to build the next thing, even if there isn't a neat little box for it yet. It sees the whole system and asks, what's the goal here?
Okay, and then the flip side is form thinking.
Yeah, form thinking, that's the administrative culture. It's much more rigid, often looking backward. It's focused entirely on established rules, existing categories, current budgets. The main goal really is to protect the existing forms.
Can you have a concrete example? How does form thinking actually block innovation in practice?
Sure. So imagine someone like Rob or anyone with that kind of cutting-edge expertise. They want funding or maybe just institutional recognition for a project on say, hybrid transformation frameworks, blending classic business process stuff with agile methods.
Makes sense.
Well, the administrative system pulls out its checklist, its drop-down menu. It's got options for IT consultant, business manager, maybe classic project lead.
But no box labeled hybrid transformation specialist who uses AI and design thinking.
Exactly. And because that specific combination, that role isn't in a pre-approved existing box, the system literally cannot process it. It can't allocate funds easily. It doesn't know how to measure its success according to old metrics, and it can't neatly classify the professional.
So the system's logic concludes.
It must be irrelevant. The dismissal isn't actually about the market value or the potential impact. It's purely about the bureaucracy's inability to categorize it neatly.
Wow. So it defaults to calling it useless because admitting its value would mean the system itself, the forms, would have to change. And that's the hardest thing for any big institution.
It's the classification trap. It really is a kind of defense mechanism. It prioritizes institutional comfort, its own stability, over actual market needs or future potential.
Which brings us right back to that word, niche.
Huh.
If a skill set is defined in global leadership roles, how can we just accept it being called niche locally?
I think Rob's reflection forces us to redefine it. In this context, niche doesn't mean small demand. It means you're ahead of the curve. It means you're operating right at the bleeding edge, maybe 3, 4, 5 years before the big administrative systems even manage to create a proper job title or funding category for what you do.
Okay, now the psychology bit. This resistance from the administrative culture, what's really being protected when they reject these skills?
Fundamentally, their comfort zone. The analysis suggests that when someone says, "Oh, that's just a niche topic," what they might really be saying, perhaps subconsciously, is, "I don't understand that, and because I can't easily classify it, it makes me feel uncomfortable, maybe even professionally insecure."
And it's definitely easier to label something future critical as like an odd hobby than it is to admit that the whole structure, the form thinking that shapes your reality, might be seriously out of date.
Absolutely. The system loves its neat boxes. So anyone who naturally connects multiple advanced fields, design, AI, agility, psychology, they just don't fit by definition. They aren't trying to slot into the current machine. They're busy building what comes after the
The
machine.
future builders.
Right. But because they operate outside the existing classification framework, they end up being, well, administratively invisible, or at least very difficult to see.
That must create this incredible professional whiplash for people. You're seen as a thought leader internationally. You're in these high-level global discussions, but then locally, your skills are treated like something you tinker with on weekends, or you're told you're overqualified for jobs that desperately need exactly what you do.
That dissonance, that friction, it points to something deeper culturally, beyond just the bureaucracy. In this German context Rob describes, there seems to be this powerful equation: familiarity equals reliability.
Ah,
If
interesting.
something is new, it's automatically a bit suspect. Even if it's proven successful in, say, Silicon Valley or leading companies in India, there can be this tendency to dismiss it as, "Yeah, but it's not proven here," or even, "It's not really German enough."
So even external validation isn't enough to overcome that local need for historical familiarity. That points to a real cultural break on adopting future practices.
It creates this kind of ironic delay, doesn't it? The global market is surging ahead with really complex ideas, open source AI agents, self-service transformation models, using AI not just for efficiency, but for real competitive advantage.
Meanwhile,
Meanwhile, the local political or institutional talk might still be stuck way back at step one, the big pronouncements about needing to finally become digital.
years after people like Rob actually started leading that digital change,
Yeah.
and now they're being told their expertise in leading it is too niche. That's a serious timeline. We're talking, what, a 6, 7 year gap in mindset?
It's significant. And this is where the real lesson for you, the listener, comes in. If you're feeling this kind of friction in your own work, your own industry, what does that dissonance actually tell you?
It tells you about your alignment,
Yeah.
maybe. If your thinking, your skills, your focus are getting pushback from the established local way of doing things, you should probably check where you're aligned. It likely means your perspective lines up more with the unavoidable direction of the future, not necessarily with the comfortable, already classified boxes of the past.
That discomfort you might feel, That's the sound of the future knocking, trying to get in past the old gatekeepers. And the future, well, doesn't really care about the comfort zones of established systems. It tends to reward those who are willing to act on that advanced knowledge, while others are still stuck debating if the change is even necessary, or if the right job title exists in the HR system yet.
We need to remember, this kind of resistance, this niche label, it's not new, is it? It's happened with pretty much every huge systemic shift.
Oh, absolutely. Just think about the biggest transformations. Electricity. That was once a weird, probably dangerous niche thing understood only by a handful of engineers.
Right.
The internet in the early 90s, so many businesses dismissed it as just a thing for hobbyists. Design thinking, which now drives strategy at massive corporations. That was initially pushed aside as some kind of fluffy, irrelevant art project.
And yet, every single one eventually became the new normal and forced the administrative systems, kicking and screaming sometimes, to finally change their forms.
The critical difference today, though, as the source material implies, is the speed. The velocity of change is just so much faster now. So while these advanced concepts will become the norm, that administrative culture, driven by form thinking, will likely take even longer to adapt relative to the pace of change. Its main job is protection and classification, remember, not speed.
So that friction becomes a direct tax on innovation, on progress.
It really does. So, okay, we've laid out this core conflict, right? This tension between the administrative culture that craves comfort and clear boxes and the innovation culture that demands speed and connection across boundaries.
And individuals, leaders, whole organizations, they basically have to choose which timeline they want to operate on, the past-focused one or the future-focused one.
Which brings us neatly to our final thought, something for you to really chew on. If this institutional resistance to essential future-ready skills is fundamentally driven by a need to protect comfort and existing classification systems, meaning the system primarily accepts only what it already knows and has a box for,
yeah,
then how do you actually ensure that the next generation of absolutely critical skills, things like AI change management, like agentic system integration, how do you ensure they gain traction locally when the current system is almost perfectly designed to reject anything it can't immediately classify?
That's the big challenge, isn't it, for those future builders? So maybe take a moment and think about your own environment, your workplace, your industry.
Yeah.
Where do you hear that word niche being used? Is it really about relevance, or is it maybe code for uncomfortable?
Because finding that spot, recognizing where niche means uncomfortable but necessary.
That's probably where your biggest future opportunity lies. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.